Kingston Manor through December 31st. Please send news of your arts and cultural events to calendar@wjffradio.org. Thanks for listening. Please stay tuned. Now and Then is coming right up. Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Cooperage, 1030 Main Street, Honesdale. Be entertained, be challenged, be inspired. The Cooperage Project.org. I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. On today's program, we'll be celebrating the music of the Beatles. So here we come to the end of another year. 2013 is about to fade into yesterday. And it's wonderful every time that the holidays come around, Christmas and New Year's. It gives me a chance to step back from the regular flow of time, you know, my life moving forward. And I can kind of step out of time. And I get a different perspective on life and on how things have gone over the past years, and allows me to think back on things. And it's fascinating how time is such an illusion when it comes to our memories. The music of the Beatles seems so immediate to me. I can go back when I listen to this music, and it becomes very vivid for me. Time seems to disappear, and it becomes so immediate. Music in general does that for me, but the Beatles have a special place in our culture. The last thing that the Beatles recorded, the very last recording sessions they did, was for their final album called Abbey Road. And we're going to be listening to Abbey Road today. There was an article recently released in the New York Times about the photography session for the cover of Abbey Road. You can probably see this in your mind. There's the four men. It's the Beatles walking across a crosswalk, and there's the stripes on the road, and you can see the white line of the highway behind them and that vanishing point in the distance. It's the only album that was released without the name of the group or the name of the album anywhere on the cover. And the photography session happened very quickly. Linda McCartney was there, and she took some photos during the photography session, and her photographs are really astounding. There was only 6 pictures taken by the official photographer, and Paul McCartney actually mapped out where he saw it in his mind, where he wanted this picture taken. And they still have the notes where he draws a little map of the Abbey Road, where the crosswalk is and where he wants the shot taken. Everyone in the band wrote and recorded songs on Abbey Road. George Harrison wrote Here Comes the Sun. They began recording Abbey Road in February, and by August 1969, they were finished. So a little more than 6 months to record the entire album. George Harrison's song, Here Comes the Sun, he wrote about it in his autobiography. It's one of his signature songs. Here Comes the Sun was written at the time when Apple was getting like school, where we had to go and be businessmen, sign this and sign that. Anyway, it seems as if winter in England goes on forever. By the time spring comes, you really deserve it. So one day, I decided I was going to sag off Apple, and I went over to Eric Clapton's house, The relief was not having to go see all those dopey accountants was wonderful, and I walked around the garden with one of Eric's acoustic guitars, and I wrote, "Here Comes the Sun."
Sun, I say it's all right.
Here Comes the Sun. It seems like such a simple song when you hear it, but it's really actually very complex. The song was produced by George Martin, as all of the Beatles songs were when they were recording together in the 60s. And since that time, it seems like every minute of every day in Abbey Road has been cataloged and written, and there's a large collection of books. There's also a complete collection of all the scores of all the Beatles songs, with every single part that was played, whether it was a Moog synthesizer, whether it was an oboe or a flute. It's written out like orchestral scores. It's an incredible amount of documentation has been done on how these songs were recorded. So, for instance, this song, Here Comes the Sun, they started recording on July the 7th in 1969, and they start with the rhythm track. George, Paul, and Ringo recorded 13 takes to get the rhythm track on July the 7th. John Lennon didn't contribute anything to this song. He was recovering from a car crash at the time. And after they did the 13 takes, then Harrison spends a whole hour by himself just re-recording the acoustic guitar part. And he does a thing where he puts a capo on the seventh fret, And it's very similar to what he did on the song, If I Needed Someone. The very next day, July the 8th, he tapes his lead vocals, and then Paul and he recorded the backing vocals, and they recorded them twice to give it a fuller sound. So now we're from July the 7th and July the 8th with the lead vocals. Then on July 16th, the hand claps that you hear in the chorus section and a harmonium were added. Harrison records an electric guitar on August the 6th, which is a couple of weeks later, and he runs his electric guitar through a Leslie speaker, which was a speaker that rotated on a column and was used for Hammond organs. And on that same day, George Martin wrote a score for the orchestral parts, which you hardly even notice, but it's so important in the song. Two piccolos, two flutes, two alto flutes, and two clarinets. The orchestral parts, that was August the 15th. And 4 days later, on August the 19th, the final bit was recorded with George Harrison recording a Moog synthesizer part. So what turns out to sounds like such a simple song, such a little ditty, it's exactly 3 minutes and 5 seconds long. Took several passes and lots of work. It's interesting because Carl Sagan proposed that this song be included on the Voyager Golden Record. There was the Voyager spacecraft, and they recorded, there was a record included that was supposed to give representative samples of human civilization. And Carl Sagan wanted Here Comes the Sun to be included on that record that went out on the Voyager spacecraft. But you know what? EMI refused to release the rights. So when the spacecraft was launched in 1977, Here Comes the Sun did not make it out to the stars. All right, so they recorded that song with Harrison with the Beatles in July of 1969. The Beatles announced their breakup, and just a few months later, in November, George Harrison begins recording his own solo album called All Things Must Pass. We'll be hearing two songs from that. And you know, the Apple label, you can see it in your mind, a bright green apple. When Harrison releases All Things Must Pass on the Apple label, it's now a dark red, luscious, ripe red apple. We'll start with Apple Scruffs. And then we'll hear the title track, George Harrison's All Things Must Pass.
Now what you see in the seen the passers-by all stir, like you have no place to go. But there's so much they don't know about the apple scruff. You've been stood around for years, seen my smiles and touched my tears. Now it's been a long, long time, and now you've been on my mind, my apple scruff. Apple scrubs, how I love you, how I love you. Flowers in your hand, my apple scrubs. While the years come and go, thy love must surely show that
things are apple scars.
George Harrison, All Things Must Pass, from his very first solo album after leaving the Beatles that was released in November of 1970. So Abbey Road, every single one of them wrote a song. Ringo Starr wrote a song, and it's only the second time that he actually was credited with songwriting on any of the Beatles albums. The song is called Octopus's Garden. And it's interesting, the background. The Beatles had taken a trip to India to study meditation with a Maharishi. And things changed emotionally in the dynamic with the band. And after they got back home, Ringo actually quit the band. He was one of the first ones to actually leave the band. And he quits the band, and no one hears about it in the media. This is just among themselves. And he quits, and he leaves for 2 weeks. And he goes off, he borrows a yacht, his good friend, the actor Peter Sellers. Ringo goes off for 2 weeks on a yacht, a trip to Sardinia. And while he's on this boat, he writes the song Octopus's Garden. And so they included it in the Abbey Road album. And there's some film footage of George Harrison actually helping Ringo write this song. But he lets Ringo take the full songwriting credit. So let's listen to Ringo's contribution to the Beatles' Abbey Road album. This is Octopus's Garden, the Beatles.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. Be warm below the storm in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed in an octopus's garden near a cave. We would sing and dance around because we know we can't be. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. Shout and swim about the coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me, no one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Last night I had a you and me, can't you see?
just like John Lennon said in Amsterdam from his bed. One day the world will wake up to see the reality. Last night I had a peace dream. You know how real dreams can be. The world was a better place for you and me. Can't you see? No need for war no more. Better things with fighting. So try to imagine if we give peace a chance. For you and me. No need for war no more. Better things with fighting for. No more hunger, no more pain. We'll make our dream come true someday.
Ringo Starr. That's from Ringo's solo album called Why Not, released in 2010. The song is called Everyone Wins, and Ringo shares the songwriting credits with Johnny Warman. And right before that, from the same album, we heard Peace Dream, written by Richard Starkey, Gary Wright, and Gary Nicholson. And on that song, Paul McCartney was playing bass. Ringo was playing drums and singing. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. Let's get back to Abbey Road. Let's listen to John Lennon's contribution to the Beatles' final recording sessions. John has a song on the Abbey Road album called I Want You, She's So Heavy. And it was actually the very first song that was recorded for the Abbey Road album. They began recording it in February of 1969, and he had Billy Preston on the keyboards. Well, it wasn't until several months later when they did another recording session, and then they combined the two different recording sessions. And it turned out to be one of the longest songs that the Beatles ever recorded. The longest song they ever recorded was Revolution Number Nine, from the White Album, which was also a John Lennon song. It's really an unusual song. It's very long. It's about 8 minutes long. It's got this repeated guitar riff, and it's the very first time, one of the first times that a Moog synthesizer is used that creates a wind effect during the song. And it's interesting because Lennon was sitting with the engineer, Gough Emrick, and when they got to the 7:44 mark, he told them, just cut it right there. And it creates a very sudden, jarring stop. And it ends the first side of the Beatles' Abbey Road. I Want You, She's So Heavy.
Oh, won't you so bad? It's driving me nuts. by my head.
You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead.
No need to be alone.
this moment don't I know exactly where my life will go. Seems like all I really was doing was waiting for a love. Thought I'd been in love before, but in my heart I wanted more. Seems like all
ah!
Paul McCartney, that song is called Alligator, from his 2013 release called New. And then from the Beatles, Abbey Road, McCartney's composition, You Never Give Me Your Money. Right before that, we heard a John Lennon set. We heard a 1980 home recording, a cassette recording that John made in New York called Real Love. We also heard John's Instant Karma, released in February 1960. And from about a year before that, we heard John Lennon with the Beatles, I Want You, She's So Heavy. ¶¶ Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then. I hope you enjoyed my program today. Thank you so much for listening. Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Cooperage, 1030 Main Street, Honesdale. Be entertained, be challenged, be inspired. TheCooperageProject.org. It's straight up 2 o'clock, and this is 90.5 FM WJFF Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM W233